This podcast is for informational purposes only and does not constitute legal, tax, investment, financial, or other advice. It is not intended to cause or induce breach of an existing agency agreement.
Hello?
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 This is the Vancouver
Commercial
Real Estate Podcast.
And welcome back to the Vancouver Commercial Real Estate Podcast. I'm Corey Wright.
And I'm your co-host for today, Roderick McKay.
Rod is joining us today, as he does every single year to kick off. It's 2026 and we're back and we've got jam-packed episodes coming. We're back to our weekly schedules here, but we bring Rod in to kick off almost every year. Rod, I think this is what, the second or third year now you've joined us to start the year to sort of talk about what does 2026 look like moving ahead?
Yeah, I think it's we're maybe on our third or fourth year. I'm kind of losing track here, but
time flies.
Looking forward to it. It feels like it wasn't that long ago that we did the 2025 version, but obviously a lot has happened since we did that podcast.
And Rod, you've joined us various times. Today you're sitting in as the co-host, but also our guest. But for Rod, for those people maybe who haven't heard the previous episodes, can you maybe tell us a little bit more about yourself and how you got it with William Wright Commercial and real estate?
Yeah, certainly. So born and raised in Vancouver. I've lived here my whole life, went to school here, have never left. And how did I get into real estate? Well, my father actually happens to be in real estate as well. So as I was making my way through school, he wanted to know what I wanted to do afterwards. I was unsure. So he suggested maybe I take my real estate license. At the time, I was actually working in customer service at the Yale Town Brewing Company as a bartender. And a couple of the guys that we worked with there had made the move to William Wright Commercial, and they were having fun and making money. So seemed like a good fit, and did that 8 years ago and been here ever since.
Well, Rod, we're thrilled to have you at William Wright Commercial, as always. And we're also thrilled to have you on the podcast again today. But before we get that there, it's 2026. Rod, did you do anything big over the holidays?
Big over the holidays. Well, December was a pretty big month for me. I was in New York watching hockey for 3 days. Saw the Devils play, the Stars, and the Rangers. And then I was in Mexico for 10 days. And then once I got home from there, I was sick for about 3 weeks. So the Christmas and New Year's wasn't so great, but we're happy to be back now. How about yourself, Corey?
I found myself in Florida. So our oldest kid had a hockey tournament down there. And we were fortunate enough to catch 4 Panthers games when we're there, including the Winter Classic. And watching a Panthers hockey game, the atmosphere, the arena, the competitiveness, everything was 10x better than I would say watching the Canucks currently at Rogers Arena with it. But yeah, we're down there. The hockey tournament was okay. The kids didn't have their best tournament, but great group of parents. Tons of fun. The kids had lots of fun. The memories will be there. And half the battle with the hockey trips is having good parents with you. And Owen's team there has a tremendous amount of outstanding parents, and it was an amazing trip nonetheless. But Rod, let's get into 2026 here. We're coming off of 2025, which I think a lot of people at the start of the year had high expectations, and then this little word called tariffs crept in about middle of January, and it felt like it shut the world off. We continue to say May, June-ish, we kind of felt things kind of pick up, and I think to add to that, Q4, we came just a hair shy of shattering a company Q4 record in company history. That's how busy Q4 was. So it's probably a lot busier than the public would think, which sets us up really, really well for 2026. And as we do every year, Rod, we've got kind of 5 markets we've kind of put out there for people to kind of keep an eye on this year. So let's, before we get into asset classes and all this stuff, let's maybe put those 5 markets out there that we kind of think this year maybe something to keep your eyes on. Rod, let's start with number 5.
This podcast is presented by Impact Commercial.
Impact Commercial, John, Alan, the team over there are fantastic. They've all been on the show.
They have, yeah.
Friends of the show.
Great guys.
Wealth of experience. They can help with all your commercial financing needs.
Whether it's owner-occupiers, land development funds, commercial investments, or multifamily, these guys got you covered.
And they recently obtained their CMHC correspondent lender status.
So for all your commercial lending needs, visit them at impactcommercial.ca.
That's impactcommercial.ca.
Attention realtors, homebuyers, and investors. If you missed out on Atlin at Clayton Crest by Zentara Developments, here's your second chance.
Atlin sold 80% in just 3 months, Adam. And because of that success, Zentara is launching Building 2, Butte.
Located in West Clayton and walking distance to the future SkyTrain station, prices are still low for now, but not for long.
Homeowners across the Lower Mainland are using equity from their current homes to invest in West Clayton, ahead of the SkyTrain and the next market upswing, because when that SkyTrain is complete and the market rebounds, it'll be too late.
This, Matt, is how wealth is built. Find out why Atlin sold so fast and register now at buttecondos.ca. That's B-U-T-E condos.ca.
Well, before we get into that, I wanted to touch on last year a little bit and kind of what we're seeing for this year, and then maybe we can dive into those asset classes. But as you mentioned, 2025, I think the whole market was feeling a lot of optimism. I know from a brokerage standpoint, we were very optimistic, and things were certainly heading in the right direction. And of course, tariffs and, we had the federal election here. Seemed like the word of the year was uncertainty. So yeah, for the first 6 months of the year, that certainly hit a bit of a pause in the market. But as you mentioned, momentum improved materially late in 2025. From a brokerage standpoint, we did very well. And it seems like there's lots of momentum going into 2026. One thing I will say to start the year, we've had there's certainly quite a bit of news going around the world. You know, you've got Iran that's in the middle of what seems to be a full-on revolution. Trump seems like he's intent on moving forward with taking over Greenland. They also captured Argentina's leader, Nicolas Maduro, and have taken him back to the U.S. Like, Alberta's in talks to separate from Canada. Right here at home, we've got Aboriginal title claims on fee simple lands in Richmond and various other places. And I say this because I think generally in years past, all of this might have scared the market, but I think there's just been so much going on these past few years where, you know, the investment and business community has become somewhat numb to it, and we just got to move forward one way or another.
That's a great point. I think over the past, going back maybe to COVID and then some, there may not be a window in time, hopefully, moving forward that we'll be able to look back on this and say, we went through more in that 4 to 5 year period from inflationary issues, supply chain issues, a world pandemic that shut the world down, political challenges, both on the provincial, federal, and I guess now south of the border. You mean there's so many things that we went through. And I think to your point, the world is becoming somewhat numb to it with everything that's happening, because we just feel like every day there's something. And now, if you look at the Americans and you look at the oil and what's going to happen with that, our oil price is going to fall because of this. People want to do business. And I feel like 2026, although there is a lot going on, I feel like people are ready to get back to the table to do business. And I think Q4 of last year, the size of transactions, the number of transactions, the multiple offers that we were seeing kind of felt like we were getting back to somewhat normalcy in commercial real estate, at least in this province here. So I'm very optimistic heading into this year, along with all the unknowns that are out there, but I'm very optimistic that the transaction volume is going to pick up dramatically in 2026. And we'll start to feel like we're kind of getting back to kind of what we know in our industry.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I mean, I think we'll certainly see some more transactions. When you say normalcy, I don't know if we're going to see, I don't know if there's a back to normalcy anymore at this point. I think it's, there's ebbs and flows, but you just get used to it. But yeah, let's dive into the market sectors, Corey. Which one did you want to go over first here?
Well, maybe before we get into the asset classes, let's touch base on the five markets that we think this year may outperform some other markets. And we'll provide some caveats on why we picked those markets. But Rod, on our list this year, we're not going to get into them too intensely, but what do we have for number five?
So number five, top five markets to look out for in British Columbia. We've got Vernon on the list.
And we're going to provide, I'll provide a little bit of context to each market there. Why we sort of picked Vernon is Vernon is obviously a subset of Kelowna. And Kelowna feels like it has done okay, all things considered, over the past year. And yes, development land and all of that stuff has been challenged. But the Vernon market feels like it's kind of keeps on moving. I know from a brokerage standpoint, we've seen a lot of transactions in Vernon. We've seen a lot of leasing happening in Vernon and even some new projects. Our Kelowna team up there has done some tremendous job on some new projects, that it feels like that market continues to propel. And I think when we look at what we've come through in the 2025, especially in the industrial side, Vernon feels like it's still moving when other markets maybe haven't moved as much. So we're putting Vernon on our list this year for number five. And primarily we're saying keep an eye on retail and industrial in the Vernon market. Rod, what do we got for number four?
Number four, we're looking at the Tri-Cities. We're going to Coquitlam.
Yeah, Coquitlam and the neighboring Tri-City markets. One reason why we threw that on the list there is you've got a tremendous amount of development that is coming into that town center area there. Marcon's got a huge project coming up. You've got Omni with a big project. Cressy had finished a project last year. You've got Morguard, which is leading, obviously, the stuff for the developments on the Coquitlam Town Center site there where you'll find the mall. So we've put that one on our list. Keep an eye on the Coquitlam area. There is a ton of stuff coming in. That should create some pressure on lease rates and make it pretty advantageous for investors potentially looking to get into that marketplace. So we put Coquitlam and the neighboring Tri-Cities on our list for number four. Ron, what do we got for number three?
Oh, we're heading out to the Fraser Valley. For this one, we're going to Abbotsford.
Abbotsford. Now, Abbotsford's found its way on our list a few times there. It's a growing population. You do have some developments out there that have done fairly well when other developments maybe haven't done as well with it. So we think if you're looking in the lower mainland, primarily the Fraser Valley area, we would maybe tend to trend towards Abbotsford as our pick for this year. Multifamily seemed like it's performed fairly well out there. Retail has been very, very strong. Industrial has felt the same industrial challenges everywhere. But again, there hasn't been the overabundance industrial that you find in other markets, such as like Surrey, if you go to like Campbell Heights area and stuff like that. And obviously, Abbotsford is a very, very small office market. So there is an office need out there. Office market seems like it's been okay, and the lease rates feel like they've maintained themselves for the most part, although it's a very small market you're in. But if you are looking at the Fraser Valley there, we put Abbotsford on that list. Rod, what do we got for number two?
So the second one, no surprises here. It's always near the top of our list. We're going back to the Okanagan, to Kelowna.
We're going back to Kelowna. And Kelowna obviously feels like it's the driver of the interior markets there. And obviously one of the drivers in BC. Now, when we look at these lists, all these things are not immune to some of the challenges that other cities have had throughout the province, such as like no Airbnbs, immigrations, all of that stuff that has definitely impacted the markets no less. With Kelowna, what you're finding is retail is the hottest commodity in the province right now, and good, well-positioned retail in Kelowna, I think, is going to be a driver if you can find it. As a secondary, I would say that quasi-industrial retail, which you find quite a bit of in that market there, will also be a really good asset to keep your eyes on. You do find a lot of local ownership up there still. And you do find areas in that market that have below market lease rates, which when you're buying assets, it gives you the opportunity to potentially have an equity takeout down the road. So we put Kelowna on our list there. And primarily we're saying keep an eye on that quasi-industrial retail type market and the retail market, which is, I think, is going to be a very, very good market anywhere in the province, especially in Kelowna. And Rod, number one on our list. I feel like it always hits near the top, and I feel like we almost might be advocating for this market too much. But Rod, what market did we put number one this year?
Well, we're heading to the island, the Central Island in particular. And I think you're right. It's always number one or two on the list for the past 3 or 4 years. We're going back to Nanaimo.
Nanaimo, and even the Western Investor pegged Nanaimo this year as one of their top markets to keep an eye on there. We had Peter join us back in 2025. Why we continue to like Nanaimo is it's not overbuilt when it comes to everything else when you look around the province. And there's a ton of external demand that from a tenant standpoint, investor standpoint, looking to get into that market. And I think by doing so, it's going to continue to push up lease rates in the right areas. And because replacement cost value of buildings are far greater than what you can acquire them for, And the lack of development coming into that market with regard to like well-positioned retail and all of that stuff is going to put continued pressure on good assets, which should drive up lease rates, which then in turn will have a better NOI or net operating income on those buildings for investors looking for good short, medium, and long-term plays. So I know we're very bullish on Nanaimo. We've been there for a long period of time, and we're going to continue to push it because replacement cost values in that market are so high, nothing is going to get built to compete with existing assets. So we think the Nanaimo is a great opportunity for those people looking to get in.
Yeah, and I'll jump in there too, Corey. I actually ran into an old friend a couple of weeks ago, and he was saying that he lives in Nanaimo, and he takes the Hello Ferry in 3 days a week to downtown Vancouver, where he's in the office, but he says it's seamless and he loves it. So I think that's been a good boost for the city as well. And one thing to note for our listeners that none of the other cities or markets on the list have a dessert named after them.
That's a great point. And it's funny you touch base on the Hello Ferry there is I come in from Coquitlam in the Burke Mountain area. Some days for me to drive into Vancouver, I'm well over an hour to get here and get home. You can get to Nanaimo from downtown Vancouver on the Hello Ferry in a recliner, reading a book, listening to a podcast, working on your computer for less time than I can drive to Coquitlam. And housing has got to be at least half the price, I would think. So that's really, I think, put a big onus on livability and affordability. And Nanaimo's a great area. It's a beautiful city, right? And, you know, that city has challenges, just like all cities do with it. But I think from an investment standpoint, it is a market to keep an eye on there. I think it's got some good runway still ahead of it this year and probably into next year. And we'll see how it plays out past then. But other markets like a Victoria, which is obviously, I think, hit a little bit of a stumbling block with regards to immigration and no Airbnbs. They've been hit a lot harder than some other markets have. Nanaimo doesn't feel like it's been hit as hard. And I think the lack of development in that area, from everything from multifamily buildings all the way down to retail industrial assets, is why the market's sort of been fairly strong in an overall market that maybe wasn't in 2025, just due to the lack of inventory that's available in that marketplace. So keep an eye on that. Rod, one thing else we want to do when we're looking at 2026 here is let's go through the asset classes. Let's make our predictions on what asset classes will do what in 2026. Rod, where do you want to start with that?
Yeah, I mean, maybe let's start with office. That's certainly an interesting one. There's, you know, it's had its challenges over the last few years, but I think we're starting to see some movement heading into 2026. You're looking, I mean, specifically downtown Vancouver, that's where I work and where I do the bulk of my business. And I'm hoping that one of these years we can potentially put Vancouver on markets to watch, but that's neither here nor there. We're seeing momentum pick up in the office market. We're seeing lots of leasing activity pick up. I think when you look at office tenants, you're really seeing a flight to quality. Seeing these AAA office buildings that are able to offer tenants lots of amenities are doing much better than sort of the BC class buildings. If you can offer a fitness center and you've got cafes downstairs, an expansive lobby, some outdoor space, you're finding that the lease up in these types of buildings is a lot quicker and you're able to achieve still pretty good lease rates compared to some of the older product out there where they're having some challenges.
Well, I think when you look at Vancouver as a whole, too, it's not traditionally a head office city. And when you look downtown Vancouver, which obviously has geographical challenges, is you've got so much housing in downtown. You might have, and I'm just going to throw numbers out there, maybe it's 70% housing to 30% office ratio versus most cities are probably 70% office to 30% housing. So there's not, Vancouver is very unique because you do have a lot of homes in the downtown core, which obviously has taken up land from offices. And I think when you look back pre-COVID, there was reports coming out saying the office leasing vacancy rate was sub 3%, which is a very unhealthy market for tenants. A balanced market's more like 8 to 10%. And coming off of what was probably a very unhealthy market for tenants, you had a lot of land developers that were building office product and then COVID hit. So all of a sudden you've got new inventory coming online. And it felt like you had a little bit of an oversupply because maybe people were downsizing, going to a hub and spoke model where maybe I don't need 30,000 square feet downtown now. I'll go down to 15,000 square feet and I'll put 5,000 square feet in Surrey, 5,000 square feet in Kelowna, and 5,000 square feet in Victoria where my staff is now. It changed the model. So some projects obviously got built. They did have some challenges with vacancy, which it does feel like that is now filling up. Landlords have had more incentives. Some projects, office projects, did not get off the ground and have been delayed and even pivoted in some cases. So that will actually help the inventory. But I do feel very confident in the coming years that the inventory will slowly absorb itself. When you look at submarkets like Langley as an example, we pay more per foot for our Langley office than we do for our downtown Vancouver office overlooking Robson Street, believe it or not. And the valley areas got absorbed really quickly during coming out of COVID, faster obviously than the greater Vancouver market did. But it feels like there's still really, really good markets when you look at a Brentwood area, which lacks office space, but there's very little vacancy out there. Langley, especially up the Twin Street corridor, that lacks vacancy and those rates have really, really held on. So I do feel that the office market is slowly making its way back to maybe a better way where it was. I don't necessarily know it's going to get down to those crazy numbers that we saw pre-pandemic with regards to Greater Vancouver. But you also had some big office transactions in 2025.
Huge transactions. Yeah, $1.2 right. billion at the Post. Telus Garden, I think there was a sale of 20% of it. There seems to be a lot of capital streaming back to these markets.
Absolutely. Kingside had a couple of major purchases on Pender there. So the fact that these people are getting back into the office acquisition market, probably arguably at a more aggressive cap rate than we've seen. So, but the confidence feels like it's there. So office market, I think we're both in agreement. It is slowly coming back. Whether it's going to be the darling of 2026, that's yet to be seen. But I think we do feel like it is moving at least in the right direction.
Well, I think too, if you look at the strata office market, I think, yeah, you would see pre-sales downtown that they sold in 2017 for $2,000 per square foot plus. And it's taken a few years for the market to realize that, you know, pricing's come off 25 to 30% in some cases on those, and, you know, in some cases even more. But it is finally coming to that point. You're starting to see more transactions come across as these vendors that purchased these years and years ago just need to get rid of them. So you're seeing prices come off a bit and you are seeing more transactions come through, which is good to see.
And one thing I think it's important for people to understand, when you're looking at the industrial market, the industrial strata market, primarily the office strata market, is owner occupiers for the longest time could own property for the very similar price to lease it. And then a lot of investors got into those asset classes and the price per foot started creeping up and creeping up and creeping up. And now that we've had some form of a correction in the industrial and the office side of things, the owner occupiers and investors aren't there like they were years ago. And by that, I mean, from an office standpoint, you can lease office space now for quite a bit cheaper than you can buy it with regards to the pricing. And a lot of developers that have built that product probably aren't really in a position that can really come off those numbers too much because they paid a lot for the land. They probably had really expensive carrying costs. They had really expensive construction costs. So there's usually a bottom that they can sell for. So if something's priced at $800 a foot and the developer's selling it directly still to the end consumer, they can't necessarily cut it to $400 a foot and call it a day. They have financial obligations. And to your point, Rod, there was a lot of pre-sales done where people paid some pretty big numbers for office space, primarily on the investment side, I feel, from a speculation standpoint, mm-hmm. and then COVID hit, and now we're seeing those prices sell at like 40% less than what they paid. People have to remember, it is a market cycle, although it was a very different market cycle with COVID.
And how down. Medical crisis.
Absolutely right there. So we've got office. We both feel office is coming back, Rod. Let's talk about industrial next. We sort of touched on it just briefly here, but I'll let you sort of share your thoughts on what does the industrial markets look like in 2026?
Yeah, well, I mean, it seemed like 2020 through, you know, coming up towards 2023, it was all we talked about. It was, you know, office was struggling. Retail had its challenges immediately post-COVID. Retail's obviously come back, but industrial was the one that was far and away performing the best. And you would see, I think over a period from 2018 to 2023, you saw pricing probably double, if not more, in some markets. And you would see lease rates jump up 75%. And it was probably going up at a level that was maybe a little bit unsustainable. I know you were seeing lease rates in Richmond. In some cases, deals were getting done in the mid-high 20s per square foot for some of the smaller bay industrial, which I think it was getting a little bit too unsustainable. And you've seen lease rates come off a bit. There was obviously a ton of product that was built as we saw the demand go up substantially post-COVID, as you saw a lot of e-commerce businesses come through. There was a huge need for warehousing and distribution space. And the developers, they bought up land and they built a lot of warehousing. And we saw it come through. As the interest rates started to rise, we found that there was a bit less of a demand for it, and there's more and more products. So the lease rates, in turn, have come down quite a bit. And you're also finding that there's not as much new product being built. So I think over the next couple of years, as the product that has been built gets absorbed and you're not building new product, you're going to find that there's going to be a push for more industrial space. But right now, it's definitely softened a bit.
Rod, I tend to agree with you on industrial. I do think things are kind of, they've leveled off, obviously. There was a ton of inventory introduced in that asset class over the past decade. And for the longest time, the vacancy rates maintained themselves, at least in the Lower Mainland, with regards to that, which is showing that you have continued ongoing demand. It wasn't pent up. It was ongoing. There was millions of square feet introduced. The vacancy rate didn't really move. Now that prices have kind of got up, lease rates got up, investors got involved, you can lease product for cheaper now, in most cases, than you potentially could buy it, at least on yesterday's pricing. So I do think that there is going to be a little bit of a correction that will continue with it. That said, what you'll probably find is the lack of stuff getting built now will eventually catch up to us 2 or 3 years down the road when that asset class kind of gets momentum again, inventory is absorbed, and then there won't be much supply coming online that potentially will start to crunch that asset class again there. So I think industrial will have its day. I don't know if it's going to be in 2026, though. If you are buying it, you have to buy smart in 2026, to say the least.
Certainly, yeah. Industrial, it's not overheating, but it is resetting to a strong, sustainable baseline. And like you said, over the next 2 or 3 years, as this gets absorbed, there's going to be some pent-up demand there.
So, Rod, let's move from there. Let's go to multifamily, which is something that's very interesting. There's been a lot of moves by the NDP that have obviously had dramatic impact on multifamily. But what are your thoughts on multifamily for 2026?
Yeah, I mean, multifamily is an interesting asset class. I think through COVID, it did extremely well. I mean, it was beds and sheds is what everybody talked about. Of course, with multifamily, that's everybody needs a roof over their head. So generally seen as a very safe asset class. It's somewhere where you generally see lower cap rates than other asset classes. It's seen as a bit more stable. If you've got a retail unit and it goes vacant, you might have 6 months of vacancy. You might have to pay $50 per square foot of TI. So that all gets baked in when you're applying a cap rate to it. Whereas with multifamily, the vacancy rates still remain quite low, although growth did slow to about 2% in the past year. And new purpose-built rentals did see a bit of a decline, -6 or 7%.
Well, I think one thing too that's really interesting. So if we look back at how the NDP, like, you know, from a federal level, immigration slowed down, international students weren't coming in at the same frequency they were 2 years ago, and you had a lot of Airbnb units, especially in secondary markets like Victoria, Kelowna, Penticton, all of that stuff that lacks hotels to start with. A lot of that stuff got thrown into the rental pool now with all the new rule changes that come out that created abundance of inventory, and the absorption rate of that inventory was not at the paces that we've seen. And I've read some reports in some downtown cores like Vancouver, Toronto, where you've seen rates fall as much, or lease rates, sorry, fall as much as 25%. And will that change when immigration sort of opens back up from a federal level? And hopefully the NDP relooks at some of their policies, such as the Airbnb rules and all that stuff. Will that change? I feel like it will. It's a beautiful place we live, and there's always a high demand for more and more people to come here. But in 2026, will that change enough to get you to open your wallet? That I don't know. I agree with you, Rod, that it is something traditionally that's always been a very safe asset. And I think long-term, that's probably still going to be the case. I just don't know if you're going to get the same numbers in 2026 that maybe you saw in 2023.
Yeah, I think multifamily, yeah, the takeaway is it hasn't fallen out of favor. It's just being underwritten much more conservatively.
Absolutely. So still a good long-term play, but you are dealing with RTA lease agreements. You're not dealing with triple net rents. So you've got to really check out deferred maintenance, understand your vacancy, understand your lease rates in those asset classes to make those purchases wisely in 2026. Rod, we'll touch base really quickly on development land. I think it's got its own story to write. It's been very challenged, quarter to sales everywhere. Any thoughts on development land? I think everyone kind of has a general sense of what it's going to look like, but what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, there is still stuff moving, but again, it's location-based. I mean, it's prime properties. There's tons out there on the market. And know, there's some developers that, you know, unfortunately have gone underwater, and they're being much more conservative when they're underwriting these properties and construction costs where they are, condo sales where they are, and the economy. I mean, it makes it challenging to make the numbers work based on where the price of land currently is and what vendors are looking to sell their plots of land for.
Development land obviously is going to have a challenging year ahead of it. The one we've saved for the very end, which I'm not going to say is my favorite.
I think it's your favorite.
It's a fun asset class. It's always changing. Coming out of COVID, we were very, very bullish on retail, well-positioned retail, and it's led the market arguably since probably 2023. It's kind of been the asset class a lot of people have been looking to go to. It kind of found its way in 2024, 2025. It felt like demand was higher than ever. And 2026, I think we're in agreement. We feel demand is going to continue to rise for well-positioned retail. But Rod, what are your thoughts on retail for 2026?
Yeah, I mean, I guess just sort of anecdotally, what I'm seeing is it's been quite strong. I mean, leasing activity is really good. And I'll caveat that with how important location is. Obviously, in real estate, everybody says location, location, location. But with retail, it makes such a difference. Even in downtown Vancouver, I've had property in Yale Town on Davie Street that we had listed for $90 per square foot. We had 10 offers within the first 2 weeks, and we had to cap it off there just because the landlord didn't want to look at anymore and review them. You know, I've got a couple others that are a couple blocks away, and we're looking to achieve, you know, similar rates or a little bit lower, and they're sitting on the market. So the location is so important, where you are on the street. If you're a retail investor, you really want to know the market, whether it's downtown Vancouver, it could be Victoria and Nanaimo, one or two blocks or just the side of the street that you're on can make a huge difference. So you really want to make sure that you're well located. But I mean, I think leasing activity is looking really good. If you look at a lot of the investment groups that are looking to purchase, it seems like retail plazas are at the top of their list. You see a lot of brokers that are looking for those types of properties out there. And yeah, coming through the last few years, I'd say it's probably maybe almost taken over the top spot in terms of what people are looking to invest in over industrial.
Well, I think one thing too for people to remember is with retail, well-positioned retail especially, a lot of it sits at the base of a lot of these new development projects that have been coming online over the past few years. And the fact that we haven't seen that development as of late, and we probably won't see it into the near future, a lot of that retail isn't going to exist anytime soon. So that's going to put continued pressure on existing assets of retail in well-positioned things, which will probably continue to drive lease rates. So getting into a good investment property on the right block, in the right area, at the right numbers, I think in 2026, you'll do very, very well. And one thing obviously we advocate for is engage a professional commercial broker to help you with that. As to your point, Rod, missing it by a block or even two blocks can be the difference between a very successful investment and a very, very challenged investment for the foreseeable future. So engaging a broker early on, understand the market you're buying in, understand all that stuff is really, really important. Rod, 2026, we've touched base on the asset classes. We've thrown out five markets there. We say, hey, keep your eyes out for these ones. What's your overall opinion? What does 2026 look like in December of this year? How is the year going to look overall? What's your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I'd say generally, Corey, I'm an optimist just because I find that things tend to go a little bit better if you tend to have a better outlook. If you're always thinking doom and gloom and looking negative on things, I think that you'll end up finding that. So I'm optimistic for this year. We saw tons of momentum, like you said, in the last quarter of 2025. We've got lots of new, really good quality listings that we're launching over the next couple of months. And even early in January here, we've seen a lot of transactions come through as an office. And yeah, we've had lots of clients reaching out that are either looking to purchase or lease space. So I think we look back on December, it's really tough because over the course of 12 months, especially what we've seen over the course of the past 15 days just of this year, it's hard to say exactly where we'll end up. I'd say barring any major macroeconomic downturns, World War III, you name it, I'd say that we're looking for a pretty steady year. Definitely a large increase in transactions from a brokerage standpoint. I don't think that we're going to see pricing move too much one way or another. I think in some markets, you're probably going to still see it come off a bit. and probably not too much of an uptick for the rest of the year. Interest rates, I think it sounds like they're talking about maybe Q4, that there might even be a bit of an increase now that they've got a hold on inflation. So time will tell. It's an unpredictable world and unpredictable markets, but we're going to be ready for it. And we are very much looking forward to it.
Great comments there, Rod. Rod, this is our kickoff 2026. You're a veteran at this podcast. You know the rules. Before we let you go, we got 6 lighthearted questions we got to ask. Yeah. You have just a few more minutes to hang out with us?
I certainly do, Corey.
All right, Rod, I feel like we've had to almost customize this. You've come so often there. But Rod, we're going to kick off with what sounds like a pretty obvious question. Do you have any 2026 resolutions?
2026 resolutions? No, I don't, Corey. I mean, I've got some goals. I wouldn't necessarily call them resolutions. I think broadly speaking, it's, you know, continuing to build the business and build my fitness. I did sign up for the Edinburgh Marathon on May 24th. So just started training this week and looking forward to, I think, about 18 weeks of that. But yeah, I think just continuing to grow through 2026.
Rod, next question up. If money was no object, what community would you live in?
Ooh, that's a good question. I'd probably be just on Point Grey Road in Kitts, right next to Chip Wilson there.
You and everybody else.
Or if money's no object, then maybe I'm just taking his place. I don't know.
All right, Rod, next question up. We know you're a hockey fan here. And this is I'm giving you a softball here. Do the Canucks turn this around and make the playoffs this year?
Is it mathematically possible at this point? I don't think so.
Probably a good question.
I think our best bet is let's go last in the league and we'll probably end up with the 6th overall pick like we normally do. But yeah, I don't know. It's been obviously a challenging season. I don't know what the latest is, but I remember hearing them say instead of the rebuild, now we're going to do a hybrid retool, and you're just kind of shaking your head, just going, what's going on here? We got to do something. But I don't know if the hybrid retool is the play, but I don't think playoffs is happening this year. That's for sure.
Well, I think when you look at the NHL now and you've got salary caps and you look at the teams that are on the rise, you've got Montreal, you've got Utah, you've got the Sharks, you've got the Anaheim Ducks, you've got teams that have been built through the draft. And I think that's kind of your only way of doing it, feels like, at least in the cycle of doing it now. But Canucks have proven that we don't draft very well over the years. And I think having a hybrid rebuild is not the answear. I think you got to go the full rebuild and tear
hybrid,
it down.
Hybrid retool. Hybrid retool.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Retool. Even worse.
Yeah,
I don't know what we can retool. I would be trading Pedersen at this point for a bag of pucks and a roll of white tape if someone asked me nicely with it. But
but you know what, Corey? Hockey's a lot like real estate. It goes through cycles, all right? So
it does. It
ebbs and flows, and we roll with the punches either way.
All right, Rod, next question up. If the Canucks don't make the playoffs and don't win the Stanley Cup, who's going to win the Stanley Cup in 2026, 2027?
I'd be looking out for the Dallas Stars. They've got a pretty mean team this year.
I'm going to go with Colorado. I think they're going to be tough to beat. I think McKinnon's the real deal. All of that said, I think McDavid had more points in December than some guys get in a whole season. So he's so good that you can never really ever bet against him, I don't feel like there. So I'll say Colorado or Edmonton will be my choice. You've got Dallas. Let's see how we fare down the road. Rod, next question up here. If you could invest in any asset class in any market in 2026, where's Rod McKay putting his money?
Whoa, that's a good question. If I could go anywhere, I mean, yeah, I think I'd probably head out. If it's my money, I'd probably head out to secondary or tertiary market. You get a little bit more bang for your buck, higher cap rate. Yeah, markets like Nanaimo or Kelowna would be probably where I'd invest. You know, if you're in Kelowna, it could be like Class B industrial, depending on where the lease rates are, if you could reposition that. If not, you know, a retail plaza in one of those markets, I think would be a great investment. Again, depending on where the current lease rates are, when they expire, and what the vacancy is like in those surrounding areas.
You're going out with your friends. You've had a few drinks. Someone throws a microphone in front of you. What karaoke song are you singing in 2026?
So I've only got one I think I've ever done, and it probably will never change. I think I did it It was like I was in grade 12 and I was a camp leader for the grade 8 camp. And this is where it started, but it was I Will Survive by Gloria Gaynor. And I put on the wig, I had a dress on. I don't do that anymore, but that's where it all started. And those are the lyrics I can remember. Generally, I'm pretty bad with lyrics. So it's I Will Survive, yeah, Gloria Gaynor.
Ron, last question. Are you a car guy? What car are you buying if you had the money with no object?
I'm not a car guy, but I keep looking into, you know, what's next. I'm fairly frugal, so I haven't switched cars in 7 years here. But I'm looking at what I would get next. And the Lexus, I think it's like the GX350. It's sort of the Toyota Land Cruiser, but the Lexus model. Those look pretty nice. I don't know if you've seen them, these Ineos Grenadiers. They kind of look like tanks, but I think they'd be great to take out on the Forest Service roads in the summer for some camping or hiking. So I think one of those two would be great.
Rod, all good choices there, Rod. How can our listeners find out more about Rod McKay, William Wright Commercial Vancouver, and what you're doing this year for 2026?
Yeah, you can reach out to me on my cell if you have any questions regarding the market, 604-763-5510. You can visit our website. You can see all the agents in our offices at williamwright.ca, or you can shoot me an email at roderick@williamwright.ca.
Amazing, Rod. Thanks for joining us. And we've got a ton of great episodes lined up for 2026, covering all the topics that you want to hear. So we look forward to seeing everyone and hearing from everyone in the very near future. And we'll be back next week with another great episode. Thanks for listening, guys.
Subscribe today.